all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We're recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800. We're really excited today to have with us for this interview Dr. Anthony Hassan, who is the inaugural executive director of the Cone Veterans Network. Dr. Hassan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me, Jim. This is an honor.
Well, we were very interested in the program and effort that you're involved with the Cone Veterans Network. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Cone Veterans Network has in the works?
Absolutely. So, Jim, as you know and our listeners know, our country's been at war for many, many years, 14 plus. We still have men and women deployed all over the world. Will continue to be deployed all over the world for many years to come. With all these men and women, over 2.6 million men and women have deployed multiple times. They continue to deploy. They continue to come home and transition back home from war, transition from military services to civilian life. We know family members are impacted by this as well. So what we want to do is make sure that veterans and their family members are able to reach out and receive the support they need to deal with this transition or these transitions. About 40% of returning men and women who experience a mental health problem, about 40% who experience a mental health problem are not receiving care. That's troubling given the high suicide rates, the high divorce rates, et cetera, that our men and women are facing. So the Cone Veterans Network really is designed to reduce any barriers to care that might exist, and that could be cost. It could be access to care. So what we're trying to do at the Cone Veterans Network is to build clinics that are no cost, high quality, accessible, and comprehensive to meet the needs of veterans and their family members.
Well, this is a inspirational program. We talk on Veterans Radio all the time about the mental health challenges our many of our veterans have and their difficulty in getting services. And, you know, it's one thing to sit around and grouse about what the VA is doing or not doing. It's another thing for a committed individual and a committed group to step forward and say, you know what, we're not going to just talk about it anymore. We're going to step up and build these things. And the plan is, as I understand it, to build 25 mental health clinics across the nation and provide these services for free to veterans.
Absolutely. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what you just said, Jim, is what I've said before, and I've said it over and over again, is that I'm tired of talking about it, I'm tired of hearing about it, and Mr. Steve Cohen says we're going to go do something about it.
And so And listeners, you hear that go-get-it attitude from Dr. Hassan. Anthony, I'm going to call you Anthony going forward, if you don't mind. But Anthony here has got that attitude because he's served. He's one of us. Anthony, tell us a little bit about your military service.
So I joined the military when I was a young man. I joined enlisted in the U.S. Army. I was a radio operator, and I served 11 years in the U.S. Army. I separated as an E6, went off to get my master's degree in social work with the purpose of going back in the military to serve as a military social worker. I went back in the military a few years later, and then I served another 14 years as an active duty military social worker in the U.S. Air Force. So I have a combined time of 25 years of active duty service. I deployed to OIF OEF in 2004 as the first combat stress control officer team from the Air Force, but I ended up being embedded with the Army. I just can't get away from the Army. So they deployed me with an Army unit, and I retired in 2009. I've been working on veterans issues and transition and mental health for the last 6 years, and I've taken this job here at the Cone Veterans Network 7 months ago.
We always like somebody who's can understand their client population, and in this instance, veterans who've been out there and serving and been in theater. After you came back, you were the director and clinical professor for the Center of Innovation and Research on Veterans and Military Families at the University of Southern California School of Social Work. So again, you put your knowledge to work in the academic setting for veterans, and now you're moving to the private sector. That's got to be pretty exciting.
It's amazing, actually, that I've been given this opportunity to do just that. I've worked in the military. I've served. I went out to USC. I built the training program and research. But the piece that was always missing was the doing, and now I'm able to do, and to build 25 clinics across the country over the next 5 years is really a dream job for me, to be able to ensure that the men and women who serve our country are able to access high-quality care whenever they need it, wherever they need it. And that's the beautiful part about this, and I am a very lucky man, Jim, to lead this effort.
Well, you're also involved in an effort that I think in the long run is going to be historic. I look at this as sort of like, hey, Andrew Carnegie back in the 1880s looked around and said, there are not enough public libraries. We need public libraries everywhere to be able to make sure that people get the knowledge that they need for advancement, and he funded that effort out of his own pocket. To bring it more recent, you've got the Fisher House, right? So people looked around and said, well, the VA hospitals are nice, but our veteran families have nowhere to stay when their loved one are in VA hospitals, and it's costing them a fortune, and a lot of these families can't afford it. And the Ken Fisher and his folks got together, and they've now opened 70 Fisher houses around the country. They've something like 6 million stays a year at Fisher houses, saving all kinds of money. Well, as you build out 25 clinics around the country, have you thought about how big this problem is and what it might take to gear up to solve it?
Well, we have, and it is pretty daunting. So we looked at where veterans are populated, and we looked at wait times, at VA to see can we fill a gap? Is there a need? And so we found the initial five cities. The big area of need, of course, is military families that aren't eligible for care at the VA. But there's a host of other veterans who aren't accessing care or ineligible for care in the VA. So we picked the first five cities. NYU in New York City was one of our first clinics, and that was built about 3 years ago. We're folding that one into this network, and we just opened in San Antonio 2 days ago, well, Monday. We're opening a clinic in Dallas the first week of May. We're opening in Los Angeles July 1st. And then we're opening a clinic in Philadelphia around September 1st. So we picked those cities. These are our pilot clinics. We'll learn from these clinics. We'll identify what works, what's not working, what we can do better. And then we'll scale the next five clinics. We'll have them up by this time next year with some of the lessons learned, early lessons learned from the first five. And we'll continue to multiply over the next couple of years our clinics till we get to the point of about 25. We may change where we end up. We may end up doing more in rural areas, or we may end up doing more in large cities. We're not sure yet. But one thing I can tell you is that we're focused heavily on engaging the veteran and family member to make it easy to get care. And the way we do that is we have a clinic, a hub, but we also have satellite offices throughout the county where we're working in. We're also going to deploy home visits. We're going to provide free transportation to and from the clinic. We're going to use a telebehavioral health platform so that family members could actually get clinical care from their home to one of our clinicians. That's really helpful for the rural veteran. That's helpful for the family member who can't get out away from the home. And that's also helpful for those who have busy schedules. So we're doing everything that we can to accommodate the veteran and their family member to ensure that there are no barriers to care. And I mentioned earlier, by the way, this is all free because of Steve Cohen's philanthropic contribution of $275 million over the next 5 years. And he has a long-term commitment to veterans because his son as a veteran, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who continues to serve in the reserves. This is something that's very, very close to Steve and personal.
Well, I want to talk about Mr. Cohn in a moment, but I wanted to back up listeners and remind you that we're talking to Dr. Anthony Hassan, who is the executive director of the Cohn Veterans Network, that's opening up these private, free clinics, and highlight again that this is for families as well as veterans. And I think that's so important. I'm curious as to what your reception has been from the VA.
Well, actually, you know, we have conversations with them in the local market in that we want to be a resource to the VA. We want to work with the VA on passing referrals back and forth. But we're clearly a private network of community mental health clinics that are designed to fill gaps in care. And so while there will be a relationship with the VA, all of our patient care is confidential, and we don't share anything with the VA unless the veteran wants us to. So we see ourselves as a community resource to augment and to fill the gaps in where the care is needed the most.
We've had on guests talking about veterans courts around the country, which have really been helpful for keeping veterans out of the legal system. And time and time again, those problems relate back to mental health problems. So you're embedding the Cohn Veteran Network into the community, I think, is a very wise approach, and certainly one that comes out of your social worker background, I suspect.
Jim, you've got it all figured out, and I appreciate talking to another veteran who gets it. You're absolutely right. This philosophy for the clinic is driven by my social work theoretical orientation and that systems orientation, that idea of community access, the idea that veterans and family members interact with so many different systems and they're dealing with so much as they transition into their new community. That, you know, life has problems and we all deal with things, and it's not just about post-traumatic stress. It really is about life and transition and identity, and just dealing with life on life's terms sometimes is difficult. And we want families to know that we're available to them, stop on in our clinic, talk with one of our therapists, attend one of our courses on parenting or couples and relationships, and really get the help early so that we can prevent this generation of veterans from having to go through and suffer in silence and suffer alone as they're challenged with, you know, the things that we have to deal with sometimes in the military that aren't so pleasant.
I want to let our listeners know a little bit about who Steve Cohn is. I didn't know the gentleman's at all by reputation until I saw the article talking about this great mental health clinic network that was going to be built out, and subsequently it doesn't take, nowadays with the internet, it doesn't take much to learn a couple of, type in a few words and you find out that Mr. Cohn, a hedge fund manager historically, currently runs a family office, is on the Forbes 400 list with a reported net worth of $12.7 billion. I bring this up not for patting him on the back or embarrassing him, but trying to establish for our listeners that he is in this and able to be in this for the long run, and that he's been committed to veteran issues for years. I found articles on the back in 2013 when he funded made a significant lead gift to the NYU Medical Center to establish veterans mental health research. He's been involved in chairing other foundations' Veterans Advisory Board. This isn't something that he just dreamed up and said, well, I'll get some good PR out of this, is it, Anthony?
Absolutely not. Steve is very solid and is making a significant contribution to ensuring that the long-term needs of veterans and their family members are met. Steve is passionately committed to this. Again, it's personal for Steve. His son is a veteran. Steve has been doing this, as you've indicated, with the Robin Hood Foundation. This is not at all what you were talking about. This is about Steve's commitment and long-term commitment to veterans. And, you know, veterans have done so much for our country, and particularly in the last 15 years, have been protecting us and fighting for us. He feels it's time for us to give back. And Steve is a man of doing. You know, when you talk to Steve, you quickly realize that we don't talk about things, we do things. And that's been his way of life. And so here we are, $275 million to do something. And that something is to build clinics across the country so that we can make sure that men and women have access to the quality mental health care they deserve.
And we're talking to Dr. Anthony Hassan, the director or executive director of the Cone Veterans Network here on Veterans Radio. And Anthony, one of the things we talk a lot about is that as the pool of people who actually serve gets smaller and smaller, you know, back in World War II, everybody was in the service and went to war, but now it's about 1%. It's important for the rest of the country to honor the commitment that the country has made to take care of our veterans and their families. And that's really what Steve Cone's doing here. Is somebody, I see that he's about 60 years old. I think he probably was just after the Vietnam War draft age. But rather than just saying, well, it's not my job, it was somebody else's job, he is part of that element we need in this country to move forward and make sure we are giving to the veterans what they need because of what they've given to the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, I feel morally committed and obligated. You know, as a veteran, I want to serve and help my fellow veterans and help my military family. That's why I took this job. It's innovative. It's fully supported by Steve Cone. He's committed. It's morally compelling to do something like this. And frankly, again, I had said earlier, I'm very fortunate to be able to build this. And when you talk about building it, these clinics are not just providing mental health care. We have outreach workers, peer-to-peer programs. We have case managers to look at the holistic needs of the veteran. You know, it goes back to my social worker roots, in that you can't just look at the individual. You have to look at the entire system and all of their needs. And so we have case managers that will work with the veterans and family members to make sure whatever needs we can't meet in the clinic, that we can find someone in the community to do that for them. That our outreach is focused on destigmatizing mental health care, reaching the veterans, creating trust with the veteran, bringing them to the clinic, demonstrating them that we not only understand veterans, but we have veterans who work in our clinics. So I'm very, very excited about what we're building. I think it's all, if I had a, I've been given the opportunity to build a mental health clinic in the way that we think a mental health clinic should be built for the veteran and military family. One unique element that I think is important to share is, because Mr. Cone is so focused on data in his business and his everyday transactions, our clinics are going to look at data to ensure quality of care, high predictability on high-risk patients, and how we can meet their needs by using big data. So when I say that, we're building an electronic health record across the entire private network of 25 clinics so that we have the ability to use data to improve the quality of care, the delivery of care, the processes that are used to engage care, identify best practices, so that as we go and scale clinics, we're actually using data from the clinics to inform the future clinics, not just our network, but imagine what we can inform for the whole field of mental health. Because we're private, because we have a network, and because we're capturing data, I think it puts us in a nice position to advance the field of military behavioral health, but also civilian mental health.
Well, I think this is exactly what's needed at the right time. I recently had a chance to talk with Brigadier General Allison Hickey, retired, who was the Undersecretary of Benefits at the VA. She made a point in our interview on Veterans Radio to talk about the VA's got to move to more towards the case manager approach, where there's somebody that the veteran can turn to, and that person will guide them through the system, get them through the hurdles of daily life. And in your discussion of what you're building out, you specifically identified that need to be able to serve that kind of case manager role for the veteran. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Jim, you're spot on. And I do know General Hickey. She is an Air Force Academy graduate. I knew some of her peers, a wonderful American citizen, and I appreciated all that she has done for the VA benefits section. So she's absolutely right. And that's what we're trying to build in our clinic network. It's just not a clinician behind closed doors, but it's a clinic of veterans and peers and outreach workers and case managers that are going to connect with our veterans and their family members in a way that's friendly, trusting, and comprehensive.
One of the particularly sad things we have going on now is veterans suicide post separation from the service. Have you thought about how you can have an impact in that area?
I think everything we're doing, Jim, is trying to impact that. The idea of getting engaged early with the young veteran before they become a generation that's hurt, lost, and broken. We're trying to engage the veteran early on in this process, and if we can do that, I think we have a chance to reduce the number of suicides. I think that when we talk about using biosensor technology for our high-risk veteran patients so that we can monitor them when they're away from the clinic, so that we know when they're isolating, when we know when they're sleeping too much, or the opposite, they're out and they're very anxious, their blood pressure's up, their heart rate's up, that we have an opportunity to use technology to reach them early, use the telebehavioral health platform to chime them up on their phone and see how they're doing. But our goal is to use our case management teams to be involved when they're not in the clinic. And, you know, again, you might say, Anthony, this is too ideal. This is, I can't believe that you guys are going to do this. But I'm here to tell you, we're going to do this, and I've got the resources to do it. And the relationships that Mr. Cohen has, we're able to leverage those in a way where we can get biosensor bracelets on our patients. We can reach them through telehealth because we built that platform for the network. We can hire as many case managers as a clinic needs. There's not a need here, and that's what makes it very challenging for me is, boy, I better not fail because I've given every opportunity to succeed from Mr. Cohen's generous support.
Well, and failure, unfortunately, here costs lives, both of veterans and their family members. I am absolutely positive, Dr. Anthony Hassan, that you and Steve Cohen and the Cohen Veterans Network is going to succeed, and you're going to make the difference in hundreds and thousands of veterans' lives. Tell folks how they can kind of stay in touch and follow what's going on and support what's going on.
Yeah, well, thank you for those kind words, Jim, and we do have a moral obligation and responsibility to take care of our veterans and their family members, and we're going to do just that, and I'm committed to this. This is my lifelong commitment, so you can count on us to do everything we can to make sure that they get the care they need, when they need it, where they need it. To contact us or to stay in touch with us, you can go to our website, www.cohenveteransnetwork.org. Again, CohenVeteransNetwork.org. That's all one word, CohenVeteransNetwork.org.
I want to thank Dr. Anthony Hassan, who's the Executive Director of the Cohen Veterans Network, of taking a little time out of his busy schedule to talk to Veterans Radio today. I want to thank all of you who are listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to our podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.